I'm Tammy Pilisek. Welcome here today. I will be talking about a disability perspective on healthcare reform activism. How are we advancing this?
This way, yeah.
Nothing's happening.
It's not working. Okay, try your mouse and see if
okay.
It will do it.
Okay. All right. I have no relationships to disclose. My husband will be happy to know that. So the first thing I wanted to do was do a little shout out or acknowledgement to the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. As was mentioned in my bio, I work at the State Public Health Department by day. But on the side, for the past 20 years, I've been a volunteer activist with the Multiple Sclerosis Society. And I'm on this panel really because the society convened a first meeting of a group that they called the Federal Activism Council, where they nominated activists from the local chapters and brought them together as a convening body to help advise the national program staff on their policy agenda. So the first meeting was in January 2008, very auspicious timing during the time that we were getting ready for presidential election politics. And as part of the group, I was asked to submit a proposal for the society. My idea was to get us prepared to be part of the policy conversation in defining the core principles that would be most important to people with chronic diseases and disabilities. And this is really important for us because as frequent healthcare users, people in the society have a really big stake in this issue. So I was proud that the issue became the number one priority for the society, and something important that will come up later in my presentation is this was very broad-based and something that the society had never taken on before. So this is the principles that we developed, and it was focused on issues that that people with chronic diseases and disabilities, particularly multiple sclerosis, could identify with. It was also used as a tool to bring in our allies, other disease-specific groups and disability groups. So here's a summary of the principles. There were seven of them. Some of them seem familiar, but we tried to put a special emphasis on issues that were of particular concern with our constituency. So in terms of accessible, looking at entree into the system regardless of pre-existing condition was very important, something the society has worked on for a while. Making sure that we emphasize that any kind of coverage limits for people with ongoing care needs were discriminatory. When we look at standards for specific treatments, we want to prevent deterioration in people who have conditions that tend to deteriorate. Eliminating disparities went beyond maybe the traditional concept of that, making sure that we had specific language for ADA compliance, making accessible exam rooms and transportation to healthcare facilities. Beyond the comprehensive spectrum of benefits, we wanted to make sure that there was unfettered access to specialty care. Coordination of care was a big issue because of people needing to get so many diagnostic tests, making sure that we emphasized utilization of electronic medical records to ameliorate that, and including patients or consumers in their own care management. And last but not least, an issue that's dear to my heart, making sure that we put long-term care supports into the conversation. As most people know, this is something that gets short shrift. And I felt very strongly that if we didn't fight for it, no one was going to. So getting this policy paper together quickly was a real strategic advantage for us. This was we were able to present these to leadership in both the House and the Senate to give it as a model to other groups and to share it with coalitions. The society also used the fact that Michelle Obama's father died of multiple sclerosis, so we knew that there was a first family connection. In October of 2008, a friendly blogger blogged about the principals, giving them some more national exposure. So I want to emphasize that the MS Society was only one of many, many players having this conversation during the policy debate. And one of the key groups is the Consortium of Citizens with Disabilities that has over 100 members, and the MS Society is one of those. So by bringing all the groups together, of course, you have a bigger, louder voice on some of the core issues. There were also some interesting innovations at the grassroots level. And this one I liked. I'm not an expert in what happened all over the country, but I know that in California, they do a regular bike-a-thon. And these are typically events that raise money for biomedical research. In this case, the event organizers teamed up with a group called My American Healthcare Story. And they had people who were involved in the bike-a-thon speak on camera and do a video interview talking about why healthcare wasn't working for them or what their experience was. And they used that as part of a storytelling model, which, as we all know, is usually much more important than facts and figures. So the society worked to educate members using the principles as a tool. They held a national call with all of the chapters. And besides just going to the traditional route, which is the government relation committees, those are the activist groups within the chapters. And there is a pretty robust advocacy system within the society and the chapters. They also made a specific point of bringing it to the local boards, which I thought was important also. So in 2009, the principles became the centerpiece of the society's annual public policy convention. And this is a time where, similar to many groups, they bring in activists and lay advocates from chapters all across the country with specific issues. Healthcare reform was on the top of the issues, and so people attending this conference were able to go and present these to members of Congress. So this was when we were really building up momentum. Everything was going great. 2010, we had a little sea change. Oops. So this is where I referred to early in the presentation that this was the first time the society had done anything, embraced something so broad-based. So I think they learned an important lesson. While they had been, you know, promoting the principles, in early 2010, they sent out a mass email to the entire membership with a message saying, support the House bill, without really a lot of context, bringing back to the principles, which were, of course, nonpartisan. In response to that, they received over 3,000 negative emails, including members who wanted to withdraw their financial support from the society. This was a huge blow to the activist community and to the staff at the policy staff in the national office, trying to sort of figure out how to deal with this blowback. So they had to sort of retool and soften the message during the next year. They didn't give up on it, but they certainly had to step back and think about how to play the politics and how to take politics out of something that's so inherently political. Fortunately, as we know, the bill passed, and the society was one of only several groups that started immediately working on fact sheets to inform disability communities about the impact of healthcare reform, particularly on people with disabilities. This is their website where they put up an FAQ for their membership to try and educate people about what had just happened. And this past summer, the Society hosted a summit to educate their leadership in communities across the country to try and start educating the larger membership about what had happened in the law. I think this is a really important step because, as we know, you know, this is part of the battleground right now. So spreading the information beyond just, you know, sending out an email blurb, but having a real substantive conversation with the various chapters. So they have been ongoing having regional teleconferences, webinars, sending out e-blasts to the membership with updates on the new law. They provide, the national office provides newsletter content and continues to collaborate with groups like Families USA and others that are sort of at the forefront of helping to help the public understand what's going on with the law. In California, they've been holding a series of forums, which this last one in Oakland, Ellen was a speaker. So that's another way that they're helping their own constituency understand what's going on with the law and the phase-in process. In Washington, the Society has a consumer representation on the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. This is the group that's integral to promulgating many of the regulations for the law, and so this has given the MS community an entree into the review and comment process, which has been so important. Ongoing involvement at the chapter level, I think since the law passed, has shifted largely to states, coalition involvement, especially shaping health insurance exchanges in California. I know we were one of the first state to pass a law for our health insurance exchange. I believe that this may be expanding over the next year due to the sea change in Congress. There may be more activism at the local level in defending the law itself, so that sort of remains to be seen. At the Society's leadership level, they set a strategic plan and they have continued to put healthcare reform at the top. I'm really proud of them, despite of, you know, what happened to them with the early blowback. They'll be looking at being involved in the review and comment of the regulations on the specific pieces of the act that deal with long-term care and supports. Those are the CLASS Act and the Community First Choices Act. And of course, we do not sit on this this law alone, continue to pursue other legislation, because as we know, this is, you know, not a panacea. So I would say in closing, the lessons learned, you know, the principles were just a great organizing tool. They really helped us out. Coalitions, everyone who's been involved in organizing knows that, you know, you can't make things work without coalitions. Compromises, of course, were inevitable as we move through, you know, our brief and our principles were very comprehensive and took into account all the things we wanted, and we had to, you know, we had to keep sort of shrinking down our expectations but still energizing the community. So that continues to be a challenge, and the ongoing battleground is to inform the constituency about what's in the law, to work within the existing framework, and continue to advocate for more. Thank you.